Okay, good morning, everybody. We are on Maseches Chagiga, Daf Yud. The shiur for Maseches Chagiga, sponsored by Yitz Weiss, CPA, always strives to make the results of your tax filings a good reason for a Chagiga. Also, Refuah Shleima for Binyamin Simcha, Ben Adina Minya. Breakfast, sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'ili Nishmas, Fega Baschaim, and Shimon Ben Za'ev. Okay, we got to the Mishnah, Yud Amud Aleph. This Mishnah is only really tangentially really related to anything that we've been doing so far. It's kind of a self-contained piece. All right, here's what it says. The Mishnah says, Heter nidarim parchim b'yavir ve'ein lehem el ma shei samchu. So the concept over here in the Mishnah, the concept is that, you know, there's an interrelationship between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. A lot of the halachos, a lot of the dinim d'oraisa are not explicit in the Chumash. Some are explicit in the Chumash, and a lot of halacha is not. A lot of halacha is in Torah Shebaal Peh. But there's an interrelationship. When you read Gemara, we've done so much Gemara that we've seen the way the Chazal learn the halachos from Psukim in the Chumash, and so a lot of the halachos of the Torah Shebaal Peh comes from Torah Shebichsav. But there are some halachos that are much more heavily explicit in the Torah Shebichsav, and some are less. So it says here in this Mishnah, Heter Nidarim, the institution of Hataras Nidarim. You take a neder, and then you regret the neder, you go to the Beis Din, and you ask the Beis Din to release you from the neder, and they talk to you about it. And if they can, they release you from the neder. That whole institution of Beis Din revoking your neder, that's called Heter Nedarim, Parchin B'Yavir. Those halachos are all Torah Shebaal Peh. Ve'ein lahem al mashe yisamchu. They don't really have anything in the Torah Shebichsav to attach to. That's what this line means in the Mishnah. And then it keeps going, and it identifies a couple of other halachos in the same way. It says here, Hilchos Shabbos and Chagigos and Me'ilos areheim keharorim hatziluyim b'se'ara. It says the halachos of Shabbos, we know that Shabbos is tons of halachos. And Chagigos, that's our mesechta, that's the relevance to us. And Me'ilos, we'll talk about Me'ilos later today. Harehem keharorim hatziluyim b'se'ara. They are lots of halachos, mountains of halachos, that are all hanging only by a thread, by a hair, onto the Torah Shebichsav. Shehein mikra muat, v'halachos merubos. Where there's very little in the Torah Shebichsav, and a lot of halacha Torah Shebaal Peh. By contrast, hadinim, Dine Maminus, and Avodos, and Avodos HaKorbanos, and Taharis and Tumos, and all the laws of Tum of Tahara, via Rayos, and the forbidden relationships, Yesh Lehem El Masha Yisamchu, Vehein Hein Gufei Torah. They have plenty explicit in the Chumash, Vehein Hein Gufei Torah. They really represent the bulk of the Torah.
Yours is in here.
Yeah, that didn't make it onto the list. Well, the list wasn't trying to be comprehensive. It wasn't trying to give you all domains of the Torah. They're just giving you samplings of how some halachos that we, some dinim d'oraisa, are heavily rooted in Torah Shebichsav, and some are not. I don't know if there's a point. I don't know if that's just a way of organizing these things in your head. I don't know what the takeaway is from these. Okay, in any case, let's look at the Gemara. So we're going to be actually dealing with four of these categories. Heter Nedarim. All right, so let's see. The Gemara says, Tanya Zabraisa says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yesh lahem al ma sheyisamchu. There is a basis. Remember that there's a difference between a mountain hanging by a thread and a mountain that's just suspended in the air, where there's no indication in the psukim that the institution of Heter Nedarim. So that's what the Mishnah claims, that there's no indication in the psukim that the whole institution of Hataras Nedarim would exist. It's pure Torah Shebaal Peh. Rabbi Eliezer says that no, that's not so. Either Rabbi Eliezer the Tana says Yesh lam al masha yisamchu shenemar ki yafli. There's a redundancy. The expression ki yafli is repeated shtei piyamim. One, the context is erichin ki yafli neder bi'erkach nefashos. One pasuk is with respect to a pledge of giving an erich, which is a pledge to Hekdesh. And the other is ki yafli lindar neder nazir. The other one is a pledge of naziris. So it says in these cases, the expression yafli is used. Yafli means shtei piyamim. Achas hafla le'iser v'yachas hafla le'hetzer. What does the yafli mean? It means to say. And Rashi describes it means more than just to say. It means to say clearly. Okay, but the point is that it's a little bit of an exotic expression, yafli. And so Rabbi Eliezer says, you know, I see in that repetition, I see in that redundancy, that shtei piyamim, achas hafla le'iser, v'yachas hafla le'heter, that's a remez, or a source even, to the institution of Hataras Adarim. Sometimes when you speak your intention, it commits you to the Naziris. But then sometimes you can speak to the Beis Din your intention and they'll release you from it. So in other words, sometimes what you say will get you in trouble and sometimes it'll get you out of trouble. So he says, I see that as being a source for the whole institution of Taras Nedarim. Which would sound like you could do Taras Nedarim on Aziris also and on Erechin and Idri Hekdesh. That's interesting. In any case, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, I also see a different source for Hataras Nedarim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Yesh Lehem Amasha Yisamchu Shenemar, Asher Nishbati V'Yapi. Right, that's the pasuk we say in Lechun Aranana and Kabbalah Shabbos. Asher Nishbati V'Yapi, Hashem says, I swore in my wrath that these people are not Asher Nishbati V'Yapi Im Yivon El Menuchasi, that they're going to die here in the Midbar, they're not going to come into Israel. That's what it sounds like from the Psukim. But it doesn't seem so from the continuation of the Gemara. But in any case, bi'api nishbati v'chazarti bi. In other words, it wasn't that I swore they're not going to come in. Hashem, by saying it in the words of David HaMelech in Tehillim, it's a nishbati v'api. I swore when I was angry. So normally, that's what Hataras Nedarim is all about. Hataras Nedarim normally is when you say something in a time when you're not emotionally neutral, when you're all worked up. So either you're angry about something, or I don't know, or in some other kind of instability, where you said something that you later regret. So this is like what's going on here. Hashem was saying, you know, I swore that I'm not going to take these people in the IP while I was angry. That implies that when you come down, you can revoke the Shavua. I mean, I don't know exactly why he thinks this is really a source for anything. It's Hashem talking, or it's at least a pasuk in Tehillim anyway, and it's talking about Hashem doing something, and so exactly, I don't know. But in any case, it's at least a remez that sometimes that you can do that also. That if you make a commitment in an emotional state that's not normal, then you can explain to the Beis Din why that, and then they can release you. Anyway, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Yesh Lehem Al Masha Yisamchu Shenemar, Kol Nediv Libo. Kol Nediv Libo. Rabbi Yitzchak says that, well, there is a source. The Pasuk says, Kol Nediv Libo, you make a commitment, you take an Adava, and the implication is only while Nediv Libo, and while your lave is still on board with this. But if you have a change of heart, literally a change of heart, you have a change of your lave, then you have the opportunity to get out of it. That's the, I guess, Rabbi Yitzchak's understanding of the pasuk. It's, again, it's not explicit, but maybe it's implied. And that's all you need. Once it's implied in the psukim, so then you have something to hang the whole institution upon. And Hananiah ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua's nephew, Hananiah, says, that I have another source. Also, Pasuk in Tehillim, again, in the words of David HaMelech, I swore, and I'm going to keep it, to keep the mitzvos. So the implication being that that sometimes a person can swear something and not have to keep them. Namely, that you can go to Beis Din to revoke. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Okay, so this is interesting. This is not a rare kind of a development. Those were all Tanoim, right? These are all Brises that we were just quoting. These are all Tanoim. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda says that Shmuel, who's an Amora, made a comment here. This is something that we've seen even before a couple of times, actually. We've seen this kind of a thing. Shmuel pipes up and he says, you know, I mean, I wasn't born when this all these people were saying all their things, these Tanayim, but Ihavoi Hasam, but if I was there, if I were there at the, I don't know, at the discussion about the source for Hetrat Nedarim, Amri Lahu Didi Adifa Mididhu, I would have told them my source is better than all of your sources. Shanemar Lo Yechel Devaro. Pasuk actually says, with respect to person makes a commitment. What is the actual pasuk in the Chumash that says you must keep your commitments? Lo yachel devaro. That itself implies that there's hatarsam. Namely, what? Lo yachel devaro. He can't disregard his davar, his commitment. Who ain't mochel? Mochel here is it means. Machel or Mechel. It means he can't mechalel what he says. But acherim ochalim or mechalalim lo. But others can release him from his commitment. He can't do it himself. Lo yachel, but others could. So, based him. So, that's what Shmuel says. It's pretty fascinating. Because we're, you know, used to the idea that the Tanayim, of course, earlier generations, they have a higher status, they say things, and then Amorayim only go along. Shmuel often would do this kind of a thing. He'd be able to present psukim that in later generations they kind of adopted Shmuel's pasuk. The best known example of this is the din of Pikuach Nefesh. The Pikuach Nefesh based on the pasuk, v'chai b'hem. That was Shmuel's suggestion of the source of Pikuach Nefesh against all the other suggestions of other Tanakh. So this is another example. Whenever you ask anybody, what's the source of Hataras Nedarim, they'll say, Shmuel's Pasuk. Lo yachel dvaro, dvaro hu eina meichel aval achir meichelim lo. That's fascinating. Amar Rava. Okay, in any case, this is all non-halachic, because all of this is just giving you, potential sources, which these didn't apparently depend upon having a source, because even throughout the times of the Tanoim, they were going with Hataras Nedarim, even if there was Shmuel hadn't presented his source. Okay, in any case, Amar Rava. Rava says, you know, Shmuel is actually best. I'll show you why Shmuel's is better than all the others. Because all the other Tanaim and their sources, Islahu Pircha. You could show what's wrong with their. You could challenge, you could ask questions about their sources in ways that you can't Ishmael. Labar midishmuel, the Leslie Pircha. There's nothing that can, there's no fault you can find a Shmuel's source. The image there is, so now we're going to go one at a time. Then all of the psukim that we saw as sources, we're going to go one at a time and knock down the source. Let's see what it says here. The image there, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer gave the first one. He was the one who says, Yafli, Yafli, twice. Dilma ked Rebbe Yehuda, Shamar Mishim Rebbe Tarfon. Well, the redundancy of Yafli tells me a different thing. It tells me what Rebbe Yehuda said in the name of Rebbe Tarfon, namely, the son Rebbe Yehuda, Amar Mishim Rebbe Tarfon, Liolam Ein Echad Mehem Nazir, Shelo Nitna Nazir Esel El Hafla. It's expecting that you're already familiar with the context. The context Rashi gives you is that you have two guys sitting there, and somebody in the distance is approaching, and one guy says to the other, hey, look, that's Bob. And he says, no, it's not Bob. He says, yes, it is. No, it's not. And says, well, you know, I'm so sure it's wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll nazir. I commit to naziris. The other one says, no, if I'm wrong, I commit to naziris. So anyway, one of them is going to be right. One of them is going to be wrong. So it says that Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishim Rabbi Tarfon, Liolam Ein Efa Mehem Nazir. Neither one is a nazir. Because in a case like this, that was not an actual intent to become a nazir. And that's necessary for the... for the commitment, chelo nitna naziris ela lahafla. Because when you take a commitment on naziris, it has to be clear that that's what you're doing. That it has to be a clear commitment. It can't just be something that you don't even know whether you've committed or not. And so, and how do we know that? Because of this double yafli expression.
You could decide you want to be a nazir bezman as
yafli. Yeah, sure.
And it would work.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
you can't shake it off, but yeah, I guess you could shake it off with a hefter chacham, I guess. But Emid the Rebbe Yehoshua, but so that was what was wrong about the double yafli. That's not a remiss to that. That's a different thing. That's telling me about how you need to have hafla. You need to have clarity. That's what Rashi says. That the hafla yafli is lashon perush. Emid Rebbe Yeshua, what's wrong with Rebbe Yeshua's source? But again, what did Rebbe Yeshua suggest? He said the pasuk Hashem Nishbati V'Yapi. That's right. It's Hashem saying that I swore in my anger. So Emid Rebbe Yeshua Dilma Achiko Amar V'Yapi Nishbati V'Lo Adar Navi. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's not what Hashem was getting at when he says I swore in my wrath. I was angry and I'm still angry. V'Lo Adar Navi. I haven't changed my mind about it. So that doesn't tell me any source for Hataras Nedarim.
Doesn't the like the end of the pasta kind of meaning Hashem saying I swore my anger that you wouldn't come to my minuka or whatever?
Meaning what?
Meaning while you were still in the desert,
they weren't going to come into Israel. You mean?
Yeah.
And the reality is that they didn't come into Israel. So ever we see that Hashem didn't change his mind in this. Right. So Tosis points out over here that's not what it means. That what? Okay, there are all kinds of problems with this whole source anyway. But anyways, those just points out that wasn't exactly the way they're learning this. They're learning this as they're not going to get a chelak liolam haba because they lost that, and that's the question. And maybe Hashem did repent about that. Okay, in any case.
That's like an end of the Buddhist art or something, or
science. Yeah, and the Sanhedrin. Right.
Sanhedrin.
Yep. And then it says here, well, let's see what's wrong with Rabbi Yitzchak's source. Rabbi Yitzchak was the one who said, "Kol nediv leiv, kol nediv libo yiviyah." Right. Even Rabbi Yitzchak, the Amar le'apukim midi Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel gomer b'libo tzarech shiotzi b'sfasav. No, maybe that's just telling me that a kabbalas haneder does not have to be expressed verbally. It could be a mental commitment, and that'll be chal. Maybe that's what it's saying, kol nediv leiv. Maybe that's why it's what it's there, which wouldn't be true for Shmuel. But in any case, the Gemara says here that can't be. It says dilma le'apukim midi Shmuel, the Amr Shmuel gomer b'libo tzarech shiotzi b'sfasav. Shmuel said, and we accept this, that even though you commit to something in your mind, gomar belibo, even if you commit it to your mind, tzarech shiyotzi b'sfasav, until you express it in your mouth, you are not bound by your commitment. So what do you do with the pasuk? Kol nediv libo yiviyah. Anybody who committed, believe. So that's why he thought that that's a remez to hataras nedarim. That if you change your lave, then you have the way out. The Gemara says, no, akamash melandi afagav de lahotzi b'sfasav. Oh, so maybe that's the point. The Gemara says no, because that's not going to be a legitimate source, because very possibly the point of Nediv Libo is to say that I don't have to verbalize the nether. The commitment will be valid even believe. Rishonim over here try to figure out, well, hold on a minute, if that's really the only reason, what's wrong with it, but if we do follow Shmuel, then that would be a legitimate use of the pasuk. In other words, if a neder is not chal believe, then nediv libo can serve as a source for Hataras Nedarim. And we do hold that a Neder is not Chal V'Leiv, except in certain circumstances. Okay, so Rishonim talk a little bit about that gap in this objection. So then the Gemara says, but anyway, the Gemara says, okay, that wasn't really compelling anyway as a source. That was a possible source, though. Imi defenanya ben Afi Rabbi Yeshua. Of course, Shmuel himself would need to not have that as a source because he holds that it's false. Imi defenanya ben Afi Rabbi Yeshua. What about the other source of Rabbi Yeshua's nephew? So then it says, what was his pasuk? Nishbati v'yakayim lishmor. This is David HaMelech saying, I swore to keep the mitzvos. How is that a source? Because as I swore and I've followed through. It says, you know, maybe Dilma Kidrav Gidal Amarav, the Umar Gidal Amarav, Minayan Shanishboin Lakaimasa Mitzvah, Shanamar, Nishbati Vyakaim Lishmar Mishmatay Sitkacha. No, maybe that pasuk is saying a whole other concept. The concept that normally we frown on people making commitments, and we certainly very strongly frown on people swearing to God to commit to things, but this would be an exception. That if a person is feeling a little bit weak in a certain matter of mitzvos, then minayin, then Rav says, you know, how do you know that it's a good thing, and maybe a great thing, to swear to keep some mitzvah, because that is much more of a compulsion, maybe, to keep you compliant with the mitzvos. And that's what David HaMelech, the strategy David HaMelech apparently followed. Shenemar, like it says in the Pasuk, I swore and I'm keeping the mitzvos. So that idea, that's what Rashi and Tosfos say, is that what's going on over here, is that that's a good thing. Even though you're swearing with using Shem Hashem, Shem Shemayim, and normally you don't swear for things. Okay, in any case, maybe that's all you're getting out of that Pasuk, and not the institution of Hataras Nedarim. Ella de Shmuel, so that's why there's fault to be found in all of the other sources. Ella de Shmuel, les le pircha. But Shmuel has no fault. Amar Rava, v'item Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, hainu di Amar Yinchi. Rava commented about that whole development. How all the Tanoim gave weak sources, but Shmuel came along and he gave a nice, good source that held up. Hayin of the Yamri Yinchi, Rava says, others say Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Hayin of the Yamri Yinchi, that's the popular expression, Tava Chara Pilpalta Charifta Mimali Sani Dikari. One little hot pepper is better than a whole basket full of pumpkins, which don't have a lot of flavor. Anyway, okay, so that's the concept. The concept is that even a little guy like Shmuel, but he has more spice to him, and so he's better than even a whole basket full of bland sources from the Tanaim, from the big pumpkins. All right. Anyway, two dots. Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishnah goes on to say Shabbos is one of those things, a gigantic mountain of halachos with only a little thread in the chumash to hang these halachos on. Rishonim will ask, what are you talking about? Shabbos is all over the chumash. It's all over there. Okay, so that's what the Gemara asks, sort of. Mechtev Kesivan, what do you mean? The source of Hilchas Shabbos, that's right there in the Chumash. Gemara says, Lo tzricha l'kidereb Abba. Well, yeah, I mean, sure, the institution of Shabbos is in the Chumash, but do you also know the subtle principles of the Malachos, the Lamites Malachos, and there are subtle principles that drive them, that govern the Lamites Malachos? Like, for example, Rabbi Abba. The Omer Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba had the following comments. One of the malachos of Shabbos is bone. You can't build things. There's another malacha called choresh. You're not allowed to dig in the field. You're not allowed to dig in the ground. So this is what Rabbi Abba says. Achofer guma b'Shabbos. Let's say you dig a hole on Shabbos. The ain tzarech el liyafar, but not because of the hole, it's because you need dirt. So if you need some dirt, and you dig a hole to get the dirt, what would we say about that? Even you're actually in violation of one or the other of these malachos, bone or chofer, of or choresh, And Rabbi Abba says, no, because you only needed the dirt, and the fact that you left behind a hole, a ditch, is not your point. So you're putter. Putter does not mean you're allowed to. It just means that we're not going to treat it like a Torah violation, which would mean no skila, right, no kares, no chatas. Those are consequences of Torah violations, but instead, putter aval asid drabanan. So, about the Isser is still Isser derabanan, not allowed to dig the thing in any case, but the point is still that this is not a Torah violation. What's keeping it from being a Torah violation? Well, because you didn't need the hole that you left behind, which would normally be the case. You needed the dirt. What is all that? What is the principle? Where is that coming from? There's no indication of this in the Chumash. Kerebi Shimon, the Amar, Malacha She'ena Tzricha Lagufa Pater. People who have learned a lot of Hilchas Shabbos inside know this principle. Malacha She'ena Tzricha Lagufa Pater. What the words mean and how it applies, that's not so clear. Rashi over here happens to be, of all places, here on Chagiga Daf Yud, Rashi gives one critical definition of Malacha She'ena Tzricha Lagufa, which is not the popular one. Here on the second to last line, Rashi says, what it means is, Malacha She'ena Tzricha Lagufa means a malacha that I would have preferred that I not have needed in the first place. And I'm only doing this because I'm trying to solve some problem that arose. Rashi says, listen, Dibert so no, lo I sabai love. If it were up to me, I wouldn't have wanted to do this in the first place. I had some need for some dirt. I dug a hole. I didn't really gain anything from it. All I did was I dealt with some problem that arose elsewhere. Rashi gives you that kind of a description of it. Tosfos don't like their description, and Tosfos gives the other definition that people are more familiar with, which is that it's not like it was in the Mishkan. Malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa means that I did the malacha for some purpose other than the purpose that it was used for in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, digging the hole was for the hole, but not for the dirt. So if I need it for the hole, then I'm chayiv, because that's a malacha ha'tzricha lagufa. But if I need it for the dirt, that's ain tzricha lagufa, some potter. This machlokas Rashi and Tos is pretty key. It comes up here in Chagiga. But it doesn't really come up, I think, in Shabbos. Shabbos, Tosis just gives you the definition and just fly with it, but Rashi is over here. In any case, potter. The malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa is not really that relevant for us because it doesn't make it mutter, so we would never, in any case, care about things being ain tzarich lagufa or tzarich lagufa, because either way they're both forbidden. And the Gemara says this is mutter for Rabbi Shimon, it's pater for Rabbi Shimon. And that whole principle that ain tzarich lagufa is pater, that's called tzalui besar. That has nothing in the pasuk, really. There's nothing in the pasuk. It's only very flimsy in the pasuk. We're going to see what the pasuk is, the basis for that. The Gemara says, well, hold on a second. That particular law is not dependent. We have like a small internal fight going on over here about this example. Afilu tema le Rabbi Yehuda. The truth is that even Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're putter in that case. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, says that ain tzarich legufa, you're still chayiv. He would say, but in this case, he would be putter because hasa misake and hacha mekalkel. Because normally, a malacha she'en tzarich legufa is still a benefit, it's still a takana, a tikkun, but hacha mekalkel. But in the case where you dug a hole in your yard, Rashi says this was in your yard, then that's a mekalkel. So you've just a little bit ruined your yard. And so damage, when you do a malacha on Shabbos and cause damage as a result, mekalkel is a ptur. So either way, either a patur because of ein tzarich leguf or because of mekalkel, your putter in this case, where did that whole thing come from? That whole notion that malachas of Shabbos are putter if you didn't do tzrich legufa or if you're not misakein. My kiharan antulim b'sa'ara. What thread is it hanging upon that those rules apply and they govern all the malachas of Shabbos? Malachas machsheves asra ha-Torah. It's the principle of Meleches Machsheves, u Meleches Machsheves Lo Ksiva. And the pasuk doesn't say Meleches Machsheves with respect to Shabbos. It says in the pasuk that when you build the mishkan, you build the mishkan meleches lasos b'chol meleches machshavas. You build the mishkan with meleches machshavas, and we only carry across to Shabbos the principle of meleches machshavas, and therefore that enormous structure of meleches machshavas, which has so many of the main klalim of Shabbos, melkalkal and tzarech legufa and a number of other ones, are all coming from this tiny little thread of a connection of meleches machshavas. All right. Two dots. Chagigos. The next thing the Mishnah identifies as being a large institution with very little going for it in the Torah Shebichsav is Chagigos. Gemara says, what are you talking about? Mechtav Kisivan. They're right there in the Chumash also. Where does it say that in the Chumash? It says in the Chumash, like right there. It says, Chagosim also Chag Lashem. There you go. The Gemara says, well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Look at the Amr Le Rapapa Le Abaye. Mimai, like Rapapa asked Abaye, Mimai the Haiva Chagosim Oso Chag Lashem Zivicha. How do you know that the words, the Chagosim Oso Chag Lashem, means you have to bring a Korban Chagiga? How do you know that? Dilma, Chugu Chaguk Amr. It just means like what we would say in our world when you say the word Chag. It just means a holiday, a celebration, right? We say, you know, we call Hanukkah Chag Ha'urim, and Yom Ha'atzmaut is a Chag, it's nothing to do with Korban Chagiga, it's just a holiday. So that's what he's asking. He's asking, well, maybe when the Chumash says Chugu, maybe he says Chagos, it just means celebrate. So Elamayata, Dechsiv, Elamayata, see, if that's the case, so then you would say, you know, that the Korban Chagiga is hanging by a thread, because it doesn't really say that it has to be a korban. Anyway, so the point is that the Gemara says, well, how do you know what the words mean? Maybe the words don't mean korban, maybe it means celebrate. So now we're going to go through all the places where the word chag is used to see if it could mean celebrate, or does it have to mean a korban? Elamayata dechsiv yachogu li b'midbar. Ah, and we just had this. That we told Paro, you know, let the Jews out, because they have to do Chogul Hashem Amidbar. They have to celebrate or something, or bring Korbanos in the Midbar. Well, maybe that means that is celebrate. It can't be. And maybe you're going to tell me, yeah, that is what it means. It means, let the Jews out, they have to celebrate with God in the Midbar. It can't be, because Moshe tells Paro later on, that listen, we have a mission, like we told you, and you're going to have to provide the korbanos. It says, Gamata titain biyadenus v'achim v'yolos, right? So you put it all together, it comes out that clearly, biyachoguli b'midbar means with korbanos. Well, the Gemara says, not so fast, v'dil machikua b'rachmana, ichlu ushsu v'chugu chagu kamoi. Maybe all it means is, I want you to celebrate, eat, drink, and celebrate, and when it says you're going to provide the zivach and miolos, Rashi says it just means you'll provide the food. All right, so maybe. So let's see. Lo salgaraitach dechsiv v'lo yalin chilv chagi ad boker. We're going to have another pasuk. Pasuk says you're not allowed to have the chilv of the chag stay overnight, not burnt on the mizbeah. So you see that that's clearly referring to a korban. Lo salgaraitach dechuguhu tarba lachaga yislei. You can't read that pasuk referring to a celebration. The chaylev of the celebration? That doesn't, there's no tarb. Tarb means chaylev. There's no chaylev. There's no fat of the celebration. Well, the Gemara says, I don't know, maybe you can mean, read it this way. V'dil ma'achi ko'am ha'rachmana chaylev haba b'zman chag lo yalin. The chaylev during the celebration time, lo yalin. The Gemara says, well, hold on, what would that mean? Elamayata, habab is manachagu, the yalilo yalin, ha decholashanakula yalin. What does that mean? You mean the Chumash really only cares only about the fat of certain times of the year, but not the rest of the year? That can't be, because you have another pasuk that says that the Mizbeach has to be there and the fire has to burn, kol halayla ad haboker. The implication being that it has to make sure that every korban gets its chaylev burnt overnight, and so that's clearly the intent of the other pasuk. And therefore, it can't just be that only during the Chag, the celebration, is going to be any different. Mara says, I don't know. Dilma imehahu hava amina hahu liyaseh. If you read that pasuk in Vayikra, that's only telling you there's a mitzvah saseh of burning the korban overnight. And this pasuk is saying, you have a lav, a lo saseh, lo yalin ad aboker. Maybe that's why it has to say those words, and maybe that's only going to be true for the holiday season. The Gemara says, nah, come on. Lelav kozrach grachrina, velo yalin min abasar, asher tisbach ba'era b'yamarishan laboker. Ah, it's a different pasuk that says there's a lav already. So I already have a lav and an essay to make sure that you burn the korban overnight, and therefore the chag can't refer to a specific narrow time for the korban to be subject to the lav. The Gemara says, I don't know, v'dilma lav or a lav v'shnei lavin v'yasei. Okay, well, the Gemara is a little bit getting desperate and is describing the possibility here. If you're interested in, like, in the procedural issues of deriving halacha, then this is actually a pretty significant thing. We're actually suggesting a possibility that, well, maybe the pasuk is just piling on additional lavs for the same thing. Tosis is a little bothered by this. This goes against other policies that we don't do that kind of a thing when it comes to sources of halachos and deriving drashos. But in any case, so all of this is all falling apart in any case. Elo Asya Midbar Midbar. Okay, so let's see. Maybe it could be a holiday. Maybe Asya Midbar Midbar. Okay, we're going to be clear that the word Chag has to refer to Korban because of Gzira Shava. Midbar Midbar. Midbar. Pasuk says you have to chag for me in the midbar. Pasuk in Amos, it says hazvachim amincha yigashtem li b'midbar. Did you offer me karbanis in the midbar? See, and what it's not saying you here is that two psukim earlier it also says about chag in Amos. So it says your malah halan zvachim afkan zvachim. So we're going to commit to that. That's going to be the source. That the word v'chagosim v'chag la'Hashem has to refer to a korban, because the word chag does refer to korban. How do I know this? Only from this Zereshava kind of to Amos. And the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, so that's an actual bona fide strong source, not just a hair, a thread. Morris says, no, it doesn't really count as a thread. If we really, really wanted to depend on this as a source, we wouldn't really be able to, because divrei Torah medivrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan. Because you can't make zera shavas to psukim in nach. It has to be psukim in chumash. So this is really a very flimsy source to support the whole institution of the Korban Chagiga requirements. But nevertheless, it really is fundamentally a Torah Shabbat. Yes.
So what's the end result? The end result is the reason why I'm bringing out Chagiga, which is referring to a carbon on Shlosh Rishonim,
yeah,
is based off of Gezeirah Shava, which is flimsy.
Not valid. Right. So therefore, it's all really based on Tosha Baal Peh interpretations. But you can't compel it just from analyzing the psukim themselves, because it could just mean celebrate. All right. Okay, Tudats. Me'ilos. That was the next thing that the Mishnah listed as being a large institution that has no sources or thin or flimsy sources. What is Me'ila? Okay, here's what Me'ila is. Me'ila means stealing from Hekdesh. That's what Me'ila is. The Chumash says that if you steal from Hekdesh under certain conditions, then the consequences are you have to pay Hekdesh, Karen. You have to pay a Chomesh. You have to bring Karban Hashem Me'ilos. But the Chumash says, but that's only B'shogig. It says, V'chata B'shgaga Mikadshei Hashem. If a person sinned B'shgaga, B'shogig. Shogig means that you were not aware of what you were doing. You weren't trying to deliberately be in violation of Me'ila. That's Shogig. So the Chumash says, if the person b'shogig steals from the Hekdesh, then all of these things apply. Now, one other thing that it's not clear in the Psukim, but that it's true anyway, is that the object that you stole, which was Hekdesh, because of your Me'ila, that object loses its kedusha. It loses its kedusha, and your obligation to reimburse the hekdesh is kind of an exchange for the hekdesh object that lost the kedusha and that you have to replace. Okay, that's just the rules of Me'ila. So, really, a lot of it is explicit in the Chumash. But in any case, let's see. The Gemara says, Me'ilo smichtav kesivan. It says them right there in the Chumash, these rules of Me'ilo. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Well, Rami Bar Chama said, Lonitzrela lekidis nan. It's going to be the same type of thing. There's going to be a lot of the parameters of Me'ila are not going to be clear from Psukim. So we're going to bounce through a couple of cases of Me'ila where some not intuitive halachos apply. And we're going to see. Then that's the way these Amorayim are going to understand what the Mishnah meant when it says that some halachos here are really only hanging by a thread in the Psukim. Let's see. Amar Rami Bar Chama lo nitzchei ela lekiddus nan hashaliach she'asa shlichuso bala bayis ma'al. Lo asa shlichuso shaliach ma'al. The case here is that you have something of hekdesh. And you tell a shaliach, what's a shaliach? A shaliach is a representative, an agent, an attorney, a proxy. It's not a messenger. That's one of my pet peeves. Never translate shaliach as messenger. It's a total distortion of the word. It completely masks the concept of shaliach. It means you empower somebody to act for you. As opposed to a messenger, as nothing. Just deliver a message, deliver a package. You haven't empowered them in any way. But a shaliach, she'asa shlichu so. If you empower a shaliach, you tell a shaliach, here, take this thing and give it to somebody. What was this thing? It was hektish. Did I know it was hektish? Did the shaliach know it was hektish? So it's unclear here. Let's see. So what if I have a hektish object and I tell the shaliach, take my thing and go give it to the other person? So it says here, if the shaliach asa shlichu so, if the shaliach did what it was authorized to do, then bala bayis ma'al. Then the Baal HaBayis and the owner, that would be me, Ma'al. I'm guilty of Me'ila, and I have to reimburse and all of the things. I have to bring the korban. Lo asah shlichuso, but if the shaliach deviated from his instructions, namely what? Namely, I told the shaliach, take that thing, which wasn't tekdesh, and he took the other thing, misunderstood or something, and he took the thing that was tekdesh, and then the shaliach Ma'al. And he's going to be guilty of the me'ilah, he's going to have to pay, etc. So the problem is, v'chi asa shlichu so amai mo'al, v'chi zeh chote v'zeh mischayev. Wait a second. Something is really unusual here. Okay, that was the case. The case is, and I guess we're going to have to say the case is that neither of us are aware that the object was hektesh. And so if the shaliach did what I told him to do, I didn't realize that it was the hektesh thing. I forgot that I had made it hektesh, or I didn't realize which thing was sitting over there when I told him to take it. And so why should I be guilty of anything? After all, me'ila is a sin. You're not allowed to be mo'el. You're not allowed to steal from hektesh. It's unclear exactly where it says so. That's a gigantic issue in Rishonim. Where does the Chumash ever say you're not allowed to be Moel? You're not allowed to steal Hektesh? It gives you the consequences, but it doesn't ever say, do not do this. So that's a large machlokes in Rishonim. In any case, the problem is, and Rashi points out, that this is all well known. Everybody knows the principle that a shaliach can act for you with one very significant exception. When it's an Avera. I can't in Shaliach Lidvar Avera. I can't make a Shaliach act for me in matters that are Averos. So it's an Avera to do Me'ila. So if I tell a Shaliach, take the object and give it to the other person, and the object is Hekdesh, that's a sin. So since when can the Shaliach do a sin of Me'ila, and I have to be responsible for it as the Mishaleach? That goes against the principle of Ein Shaliach Dvar Avera. Do we ever have a case like that? Where the shaliach does a sin, and the mishaleach has to deal with the consequences. So hainu, that's a chiddush din of me'ila. That's one chiddush of me'ila. Hainu ke'arana tulim b'sa'ara. That breaks the regular rules of ein shlech dvar veira. And that whole institution of shlech dvar veira for me'ila is like hanging by a thread. Amar Rava. Rava says, hold on a second. Umay kushya. Dilma shayne me'ila d'yalfa chet me'truma. Hold on a second. This is not just hanging by a thread. This is a bona fide gzeirah shavah that should lead to this rule. Namely what? Namely, yalfa chet me truma. Rashi points out that there are a number of halachos that I learn from truma to me'ila because of the gzeirah shavah chet. Mahasam shalucha shalam kemoso. Avkan shalucha shalam kemoso. Truma, Pasuk says, kein tarima gamatem truma sashem. So gam le rabbah shaluchachem. So the expression in Truma of Gam Atem tells me that Truma, taking Truma from your produce, can be something that you can transfer to a Shaliach. And if that also, Chet tells me that's true about Me'ila, and Me'ila is always a sin, that means there's always an exception of for Me'ila of Shaliach L'Dvar Avera. Afkan Shaluch Shalom Kamoso. So that's not a flimsy rule, that's a bona fide Gzeirah Shavah. Rava says, no, there's a different aspect of Me'ila that I wouldn't get from that Gzeirah Shavah. Namely what if I have that situation? Okay, I have the guy and tells the Shaliach to go take the object and give it away to the other person. But what happens while the Shaliach is about to go and do the job? Wait a minute, that thing I made at Hekdesh. Okay, stop. I try to call it back. I can't contact the Shaliach, but I, in my head, I cancel those orders, but I never communicated with the Shaliach. So it's not fair or anything, but the point is, I realize now that was Hekdesh. And then he goes and does it. Nizkar bala bayis velo nizkar Shaliach. Shaliach never knows about it. The Shaliach mal. Okay, now it's the Shaliach who has to bring the korban, he has to pay for it, and so what do you want from the poor Shaliach? And actually, I've never seen this in any other context, but we actually have the Gemara saying exactly those words. The poor Shaliach, what do you want from Shaliach Anya? The poor Shaliach, Michael Avid. What did he do that you want to make him pay for everything? After all, he did only what he was told to do. This is the case where he did not deviate from his instructions. He followed instructions, so he did what he was supposed to do. So what do you mean? It's his job to also second guess the owner of the object, who really is Hekdesh, so he's not really the owner. Hainu ki'arar matzulim b'sa'ara. I'm a Ravashi. Ravashi says, well, hold on a minute. Wait. My kushi adilma midi dihava motzi ma'os Hekdesh l'chulin. No, not necessarily. Hold on. Midi dehava amotzi maos hekdesh lechulin. I mean, what happens if, let's say, there's hekdesh money and I don't realize it and I take the money? Motzi maos hekdesh lechulin b'shogeg. I'm shogeg. What do you want from me? I didn't realize that it was hekdesh, but that's the rule. The rule is that if you inadvertently take hekdesh things, then that's the whole concept of me'ila, is that you b'shogeg are chayiv to pay. So what's so bad about this? It's not like the Shaliach, that's an impossible to understand case. That's a classic case of somebody who inadvertently was guilty of Me'ila. Okay, so that actually is not actually so bizarre. That's just the whole institution of Me'ila just has that situation. Elo Amar Ravashi. Ravashi said, no, there is something bizarre here. Lo Netzrelo Lekedisnan Notel Evan Okorish El Hekdesh. Let's say, this is the rule that it says in the Mishnah. It says, if let's say there's a korah, there's a beam, right? There's a, I don't know, a 2x4 is lying there of hekdesh. It's a hekdesh beam. So I take it. Lomal. That's not me'ila yet. Nesana l'chaveiro. But if I give it away to the other person, humal. That's my me'ila and not his me'ila.
It's like taking a rock from the coastal. isn't it? And giving it to somebody else.
It might be like that. How is it like that? Meaning, not tell Evan. I took a stone. Let's say it's from the Kotel. Okay. And so that's not yet Moel. Even though I took it. I'm the Ganav. So at that point, I already should stop the case and I say, okay, I'm the Ganav. I'm Moel. But it says no, for some reason. We're going to find out. We might find out, or we might have to wait until next week to find out what's going on here. So I'm not Moel, and then I give it to somebody else, and then what? Then I'm the Moel, and not that one? How does all that make sense? Mechdi, Mishkal Shakala. Okay, he took it from Hekdesh. Malihu, Mali Chaveiro. What's the difference if I kept it or if I gave it away? Hainu, that's bizarre. So that's Keharara Matzli and Bisa'ara. That's what it means in the Mishnah where it says big halachos that really have very flimsy thread to connect it to the body of the Torah. Mar says, I don't know. Let's finish this up at least. Yeah, I can do this. Mike Kushia. No, that's not bizarre either because you didn't understand what the case was. If the case was I took it from the Kotel, then that wouldn't be the rule. Then I would be Moel right away as soon as I took it. My Kushia, Dilma Kiddish Shmuel, the Amr Shmuel, Hacha Begizbar, Hamasuras Lo Avne Binyan Askinan. No, we're not talking about a guy who's like an American tourist who wants to take souvenirs. We're talking about the guy who's in charge of the Kotel. The guy who's in charge of the Kotel has the status of being the caretaker of the Kotel. The Gizbar is the guy in charge. So when he takes things, you don't keep talking about him as, oh, you just took something from Hekdesh. That's what you do. So when you took a thing from Hekdesh, you haven't done anything yet. The minute you handed it away to somebody, now you've actually exceeded what you were authorized to do, and now you just stole it. The Gizbar HaMasuras Lo'avnei Binyan Askinan. We're talking about the guy who's in charge of the Hekdesh. The Kol Hecha de Mancha, wherever it is, B'rishu say the day Mancha. So him walking around with it, taking it, is not... That's not an act of theft yet. It's only when he gives it away. So we haven't actually, so far, been able to identify anything about Me'ila that's really that bizarre that has no good grounds for it. Oh, that'll have to wait for next time.